My guest today is Sam Missy from the Grand County History Association. Sam tells us the story of the famous historical figure, Doc Susie. It's fascinating, and I learned so much from her talk today. I hope you enjoy it as well. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. It's a new year and new things are happening.
Yes. I always like the new year. You get to look forward to all the fresh stuff.
That's right. Well, today we're going to talk about one lady that was popular in the county, Doc Susie.
Yes, local legend, hero, beloved.
Tell us about her.
So I'm sure most people probably know the story. I mean, we've got several books on her in the gift shop, and her story is kind of shared by everyone, but I'll kind of give like a quick rundown on her, because even when you go through the exhibit or you read some of the books, there's things that you don't always realize. And so hopefully I can share a few of those things. So Doc Susie, as we know her, was born Susan Anderson in 1870. She was born outside of Indiana and in a small town in Indiana. She lived with her father, her grandmother, and her younger brother. She didn't exactly come from a traditional home, considering her parents did get divorced. And so I think Doc Susie got to experience a world that not many people did in 1870. And so she learned, you know, traditional things from her grandmother, but her father wanted her to be able to survive on her own. So he did teach her things like chopping wood, shooting, how to ride a horse. She always carried a gun with her. And her father also wanted quite a bit for her in life. She wanted to be a telegraph operator. And her father insisted that she become a doctor instead. And she did also get to finish high school, which wasn't exactly common for anyone, regardless of your gender. You usually had to, you know, get as high of an education as you could and then help out your family. So she graduated high school in 1891. And her father did actually remarry, and they moved to Cripple Creek as a family. And then in 1893, she attended the medical school at the University of Washington. And a lot of people think it was pretty uncommon for women to go into the medical field. But actually, by the time Doc Susie was entering into medical school, it was actually fairly common. And it's estimated that 1 in 4 medical students was actually female, which I don't think a lot of people realize.
I didn't know that. Yeah. So interesting.
Yes. Well, and I think it's just because so many women doctors weren't trusted. And unfortunately, Doc Susie runs into that problem as well. So I think a lot of them attempted that route and then weren't necessarily successful with it. So we don't hear about it. But so after she finishes medical school, she does return to Cripple Creek. And Cripple Creek is booming. There are 55 doctors to serve 30,000 people. So she was serving about 500 people. And so that kept her very, very busy. And things were looking good for Doc Susie. She was very, very close with her younger brother. She considered him her best friend. He moved back to Cripple Creek and she was supposed to be getting married. And then, unfortunately, her fiance left her. And then her younger brother passed away. So she suffered some pretty heavy hits all around the same time.
Oh, I didn't realize that she was set to be married.
Yes, a lot of people don't. And we'll talk about the event we have coming up soon, but we do have some items from that time period in her life that are now going to be on display at the museum.
All right.
Yeah. So, you know, following these hardships, Doc Susie really decided she needed to get out of Cripple Creek. Plus, she wasn't exactly too fond of her stepmother. So on top of everything, she just decided she needed a change of pace. So first, she becomes a private doctor to a rich man. We don't know exactly who. We can't find any names. So she does that for a little while. But the man does, you know, regain his health and he wants to travel and she does not want to travel with him. So she stops being a private doctor. She moves down to Denver, tries to open a practice there, and she is unsuccessful, unfortunately. And she is quoted as saying that she believes her failure in setting up her practice was because people didn't believe in women doctors. So she makes another move. She moves all the way out to Greeley. And out there, she's a nurse for about 6 years, but she doesn't like it. She doesn't like to be told what to do. And she, in often cases, believes she knows more than the doctors that are giving advice. So she puts up with it for as long as she can, starts looking for other places. She considers Steamboat. She decides it's too remote, which I think is a little ironic considering she ends up in Fraser and there's, you know, like 11 families living up here when she... But what part of what pushes Doc Susie to pick Fraser is that she does have tuberculosis and it is flaring up. And she knows that the recommendation is to move to higher elevations with drier air to help cure that. So that's what she does. She had previously visited Fraser and had seen the aspens changing. And so she decided, you know, that might be the place for her. So she moves up to Fraser in 1907. And she actually spends the first couple years not practicing. She wants to focus on her health, do light exercise, get herself into a better position. And the first job she has up here, she works in a general store. And ironically, her first patient isn't a human. There were many, many lumberjacks that would come into the general store. And she's working one day and a man runs in and says, help, like Dave needs help. And so she grabs her black medical bag and she runs out to help. And Dave is in fact a horse. Oh. But it wasn't uncommon for rural physicians to also be veterinarians. So Doc Susie did on occasion treat animals. But it's following this that word kind of spreads that there's a new lady doctor in town. And she sets up her practice. And of course, she faces skepticism from the men. But all the women are ecstatic to have a female doctor in town that they can go to and can help treat people. And so she, you know, she's sort of welcomed right off the bat. But she definitely earns the respect of the people up here. And another one of her early patients was a baby up in the town of Arrow. And it was actually a family that was from Sweden. So there was also a translator she had to work with. Unfortunately, the baby didn't survive. But when she's up there, she realizes how little people have in Grand County to give. And she demands that anytime anyone is sick or injured, that they call for her. She doesn't care that they can't pay her. She just wants to help people. And she kind of lives the rest of her life by that philosophy. Doc Susie was poor by any standard and definition of the word because she didn't accept money from most patients because most patients didn't have money to give, unfortunately. So she accepted things like firewood, food, pies. She would be invited for dinner and she would take that as payment instead. And when she was first living up here, she lived in basically a shack right by the railroad. And eventually the railroad kind of evicted her from that shack. She had been paid by a hay rancher in a log barn storage shed, which she hadn't done anything with because it was a whole barn that she would have had to move. So it had just been kind of sitting there. And she decided, well, this is probably my best option. And she's like, I don't know how I'm going to move it. But some people around town heard about her eviction and heard about what was going on. So they had shown her a plot of land in Fraser that she could purchase for a dollar. And then they all banded together and moved this log shed log by log for her. And that house is still standing. It's in Fraser. It's a private residence. You can drive by and see it. And I often direct people to take a quick drive through Old Town Fraser because it's kind of neat anyway. I may be a bit biased though because I live over there. Yeah. So. And so she just became this part of Fraser. And in one of the books we have on Doc Susie, someone is quoted as saying she was the conscience of Fraser. She didn't ever hesitate to tell you if she thought you were doing something wrong or something you were doing wasn't moral or necessarily right. So she tried to keep people on the straight and narrow, it sounds like.
I wonder how that worked out for her.
Yes. Well, I think she wasn't exactly one to be messed with. She is also quoted as saying at one point, because she never did end up marrying or having children, but she's quoted as saying that she could have married if she had been able to take direction and hadn't said poo so many times. So I would say she could hold her own. That's for sure.
Yes. And how long did she practice?
So she actually practiced until she was 84. And all the way up until around when she was 72, she was still the only physician in Fraser. There were some other physicians throughout the county now, but she was still the only one for Fraser.
And I remember hearing like she would snowshoe miles to go deliver.
Yeah, she would get to people however she could. She'd snowshoe, ride a horse, take a sleigh, even walk. They said that she would sing a lot of times while she was out traveling. And so you often heard her singing before you saw her. So you knew she was coming.
Is her grave up here in the county?
No, it's actually kind of interesting. So when She stopped practicing at 84. She only lived up here about another 2 years. It sounds like she was suffering some adverse health effects. She wasn't in great health. So when she was 86, she moved down to Denver into a nursing home, and she was penniless. So there's not really any information on how this was afforded. There's a couple of theories, one of them being that she was so well respected by doctors down in Denver that they pooled money to pay for her nursing home. But she was only in the nursing home about 4 years. She died when she was 90 in 1860. And her wish was to be buried in Cripple Creek next to her brother in that cemetery. But by the time she passed away, that cemetery was so overgrown that they couldn't find the plot. What I have found is that she was just placed in an unmarked grave. I can't quite seem to figure out if that just means an unmarked grave in Cripple Creek. I would assume it does. But when residents of Grand County found out that she wouldn't even have a headstone, they put together a collection of funds so that she could have a headstone at least. She is no longer in an unmarked grave. She's just not next to her brother. Virginia Cornell wrote the book that I think everyone knows, or at least the one that everyone references. It's the one I get asked about all the time, which is Doc Susie, The True Story of a Country Physician in the Colorado Rockies. Virginia Cornell said that she wanted to do something for Doc Susie, and she wasn't quite sure what to do because what do you do for someone that's already passed away? So what she did was she actually located the family plot in Cripple Creek. And on one of those headstones, she hired an engraver to carve Doc Susie's name and information on that gravestone. So even though she's not actually placed next to her brother, her information is by her brother now.
That book is really worth reading. I've given it to many people.
Yes. Well, it was out of print for a really long time. We actually just bought a ton of copies this summer. So if you are someone who hasn't read it, or you need a new copy, it might be a little worn out, broken the spine too many times, please stop into the museum. We're happy to help you. But there's actually a couple books. We have ones that are geared to different reading levels that are kind of like biographical books. We've got one that's even in Spanish, so it's for bilingual readers. And then we have our newest one, which is written by Owen Briggs, whose aunt lived next door to Doc Susie and was the executor of her estate when she passed. Oh. And Owen's aunt worked with Doc Susie's family, what remained of it, to kind of get her belongings to them. And anything the family didn't want, they told her to keep. And so she actually kept quite a bit of Doc Susie's belongings, and no one in her family really was interested until Owen. And so he got all these wonderful stories from his aunt about Doc Susie, and he actually became the owner of this collection of Doc Susie items. And we actually purchased these items from Owen with the help of the town of Winter Park and the Grand Foundation and private donors. We purchased those, I believe, back in 2019. And we've been working on slowly accessioning all those items into our database and working on updating our Doc Susie exhibit. Because we do have one, but it's so fascinating to be able to put all these new pieces in. And one of those pieces is supposedly the dress that she wore, was supposed to wear when she was going to get married.
Tell me about the exhibit.
Yeah, so the exhibit is here at Cousins Ranch Museum in Fraser. It's one of our 6 rooms upstairs. The upstairs just kind of focuses on Fraser Valley history in general, which is why she's got a 1 whole room dedicated to her. And we have things like her medical diploma, the snowshoes she used, some of her medical tools, her bag. We've got some of those items already. So we're looking forward to putting in more of these items. Things that were a little bit more personal to Doc Susie that she clearly saved and cared about. And so we're unveiling that exhibit the 31st of this month, which is Doc Susie's birthday. It would be her 153rd birthday. We like to celebrate that every year, and we try to do something for it. So this year is the unveiling of the exhibit. The unveiling will be from 4 to 6 p.m. on the 31st. Now, that unveiling is technically for GCHA members only. They kind of get a first look because they are members. You can still join and become a member, so don't worry about that. After that, the exhibit will be open during general museum hours, and right now that is Thursday to Monday from 10 to 4.
Okay, great. So I wanted to ask you, I had heard that Medicine Woman, that show, was loosely based on Doc Susie. Is there any truth to that?
You know, we can't necessarily find any, but that is the running theory. So at one point in Doc Susie's life, she had actually been approached by Ethel Barrymore, which is the great aunt of Drew Barrymore, the actress.
Oh.
And Ethel wanted to make a movie about Doc Susie's life and play Doc Susie. And Doc Susie's one-word response was fiddlesticks, which is said to have been one of her favorite expressions, and she turned down that offer. So she was not at all very boastful of her life or what she had achieved. She's actually quite the opposite. I do think that there's definitely, at least in the most wide sense of being based on Doc Susie, I think it definitely is. But Doc Susie wasn't the only one. We just feel that she's so famous because her tale has kind of grown a life of its own up here and the whole state of Colorado. But I think we feel it pretty heavy up here, her presence and the impact that she had. I think that I'm safe to say, yes, it's probably based on her life, but based in quotations.
Yes.
but I think that shows a good representation of what any female physician, especially a rural physician, would have been experiencing.
Well, tell me what else you have going on with the Grand County Historical Society.
And we have some really, really fun events coming up. I'm really, really excited. So this month we have the Doc Susie exhibit opening at the end of the month. And then next month, you know, in the spirit of Valentine's, I am doing a kind of a educational presentation on Victorian Valentines, because the Valentines we see now is, you know, pretty heavily based in the Victorian era. And come for the presentation, stay for crafting your own Valentine afterwards with me. The Valentine event is on February 11th. Okay. And then on the 25th of February, the Arcadia Images of America books, I don't know if you've seen them. They're kind of what I consider to be sort of like coffee table books. They've got historic photos in them and information in the captions. And so we're launching a new one. Dr. Penny, who wonderfully runs our aviation museum in Granby in the summers, she put together this book of historic photos, and it's just around Grand County. So it's all Grand County photos. We're launching that at the aviation museum in Granby. So that's in the Granby airport from 11 to 2. So you can come see the museum in a time period when you normally can't, because we're usually closed. Buy a book, talk to Penny, maybe even get a signature on that book. We'll do kind of an author talk with her later in the year, but no date settled on that one yet. Looking forward to the book launch anyway. Plus, people are always excited to see the museum at a time when they normally can't.
Absolutely. All of your events are just so unique.
Yes. And I have some other ones. I've got some historic crafting coming up. We're going to do tin punching. I have a live history reenactor coming as well to reenact the life of Martha Maxwell. So we're excited about that. But all of our events you can find either on Facebook or on our website, which is just GrandCountyHistory.org.
Sam, this was so fun today, and I learned some things that I didn't know. So thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Any chance I get to kind of talk history, I think sometimes I wear the ears off our tourists who come in the door. So
no, this was fascinating. Thank you again. And you have a great day.
Yeah, you as well. Thanks for having me on.